Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for your goodness and your love. Thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who offered himself on the cross that we may have eternal life. Father, ours is the greatest privilege and honor that we are your children. It is for this reason that we have gathered together this morning in worship of you and in study of your word with the goal of fulfilling the role that which you have called us upon this planet to represent you as the ambassadors. We realize that we cannot do it apart from God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as we have assembled to study a portion of your word, we pray now that the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will open our minds to the truth as we study them. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis 37. We had begun looking at introduction to Joseph in Genesis 37. We looked at verses 1 through 4 last week, in which we saw the resume, so to say, of Joseph. An introduction that gave us some clues or information regarding what is going to take place in the rest of the book of Genesis as we study. First, you recall, his age was given to us as being 17 years old, and I explained to you there are two basic reasons for giving that age. One of them is to allow us to see the power of prejudice, how prejudice can blind a person. They can be looking at truth, but because of prejudice, they will not see that truth. In case of Joseph, as we will study in detail when we get to, I think, the 42nd chapter, where his brothers looked straight in his eyes and told him he was dead. Because in their mind, they have become prejudiced that there's no way their brother could ever be the prime minister in Egypt. The second reason is we saw that helped us to establish the timeline from which we know the time that that Isaac died and that he was still living when Joseph was sold into slavery. We also saw that Jacob was about 91 years old when Joseph was born, and some other things that we discovered by using that years given to us. The second thing that we mentioned in his resume was his occupation, being a shepherd. He was among his brothers participating in the occupation of the time, more or less they are quite nomad type of people, but they did have other things, but mostly Joseph was a shepherd. The third thing that we saw with regard to Joseph was he was his father's informant, for which we explained the necessity of believers doing the right thing in spite of what people think. That when we see something go wrong, that we need to talk about it to the appropriate authority, even though to the world you may be looked upon as a snitch. But the truth of the matter is, if you do see truth, or something that is wrong, and you say nothing about it, the Bible, as from what I read last week in James 4:17, says that you and I have sinned. It is for this reason that we need to be involved in that respect. But at the same time, that we must be very careful that when we report things to proper authority, either that we are what we call eyewitnesses of the fact that we are reporting, or that we have a first-hand knowledge of what it is that we are reporting. That is to say, we cannot be second-guessing. We cannot be telling tale about it. If it's a tale, we don't report it to another person in terms of the person who has the authority over the individual concerned. The fourth thing that we saw was he was his father's favorite. And that, of course, led to some other problems that we'll be dealing with in a minute. The fifth thing that we saw is that his father gave him a special article of clothing as a demonstration of his love. And finally, we saw that he was the object of his brother's hatred. That sets up now so that we move to the section that we'll deal with this morning, which will be Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. And the issue there will be Joseph's dreams. Joseph's dreams, that's the issue in Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. Again, Joseph has been introduced in the last section as his father's favorite son, who is also hated by his brothers. Now we declared or deduced two reasons for his brother's hatred. The bad report that he made to his father about his brother's conduct or behavior. That's one reason. And secondly, the love that his father had for him. Now this love is manifested again in a special garment that Jacob made for Joseph. In this section, we are now given one more reason that his brothers hated him. In other words, there are just things being added to show what increased his brother's hatred. Here it has to do with his dreams. There are two dreams of Joseph recorded here that have relevance to his career and role in connection with his father's family, that includes his father and his wives and his brothers. So we begin with the first dream in verses 5 through 8. Now the first dream, of course, concerns Joseph's future in relationship with his siblings. He will rule over them. This is the dream together with its effect on Joseph that we have in verses 5 to 8. Verse 5 says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to rule over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Now the structure of this section is quite simple. First, a summary statement about Joseph's dream and its aftermath are given. That's the structure. Secondly, the content then of that dream is then given. And thirdly, Joseph's brother's response to his dream is then described. Now the Holy Spirit, through the human author, Moses, wants us to recognize that an additional reason for Joseph's brother's hatred of him was his dreams. It is for this reason that the dream was mentioned first without any detail, then followed by its effect on the attitude of Joseph's brothers. Now this introduction of Joseph's dream is given in that first expression of verse 5 where it says, Joseph had a dream. More literally, the Hebrew said, Joseph dreamed a dream. Joseph dreamed a dream. Now it is possible that this may not be the first time that Joseph had a dream, but the dream in question here is one that is of importance, that he narrated it to his brothers. And so that's why he said in the next expression, next clause of verse 5, and when he told his brothers. Now a more literal translation, of course, is something like this. Then he told to his brothers, which has to do with his dream. Now we will expect that the dream will be given after the author stated that Joseph had a dream. Instead, we are first given the reaction of his brothers to his dream, instead of giving us the actual detail of the dream. The reason, as we alluded previously, is to show that Joseph's dream was one more reason or one more explanation of his brother's hatred of him. The human author, under the directive of the Holy Spirit, wants us to know that from the start of this section, that he was still developing the concept of hatred of Joseph by his brothers. Now the reaction of Joseph's brothers is given in the last sentence of verse 5, where he says, they hated him all the more. Now a literal translation is something like this. So, they increased still to hatred of him. They increased still to hatred of him. Now I use the word so because of the Hebrew word that is used in this connection. And that Hebrew word sometimes is translated and sometimes then. But the translation so indicates that the increased hatred of Joseph results from his dream, which he narrated to his brothers. Now there are two Hebrew verbs that were used in this expression. The first is the Hebrew word yashav. Y-A-S-A-P-H, yashav. That Hebrew word means to add, to increase, sometimes to do again. But in the form that it appears in the Hebrew text, or what they call the hefel in the Hebrew grammar, it simply means to increase or to cause to add to. The second verb that is used is the same word that we saw last week, sen. S-A-N-E. Sen, that means to hate or to be hateful. Now the idea of a literal translation is to indicate that Joseph's brothers became even more hateful or more resentful of him. It is Joseph's dream, no doubt, that caused them to increase their hatred, so to say. The question, though, is how should we understand that expression? They hated him all the more, which I've given literally, that means they increased their hatred. So, how are we to understand even the way it's given the NIV that they hated him all the more? Well, we should understand this expression really to mean that Joseph's brothers found one more reason to resent him, or one more reason to increase their hostility towards him. See, hatred, like love, is an attitude of the mind that a person possesses. So it is difficult to understand what it means to hate a person more. You know, we cannot really think about hatred and say, well, I hate him a little bit. No, there's no such thing. Just like they say, he's a little bit pregnant. You don't become a little bit pregnant. You are either pregnant or you're not. And so, you cannot say, well, I hate this person a little bit, or I hate this person more. No. When anyone hates, the hatred itself does not increase, nor does it diminish. If you hate, the hatred is there, it doesn't increase, it doesn't diminish. The only way it changes if you replace hatred with love. But other than that, it stays the same way. In other words, to hate a person more here implies that a person is poised to manifest his hatred in a very vicious manner. Now, there are several ways that people manifest hatred, but hatred is an attitude that never increases nor decreases. Now, its various manifestation can come up in the actions that a person takes. In other words, it will mean doing more things to hurt the object of one's hatred. So when the expression their hatred increases, it just means they're looking for a way to hurt him more. Because it is that same attitude, the same hatred, the same bitterness or so, whatever it is, it doesn't is there. But when a person increases hatred, as this expression says, simply means that the person is seeking for more ways to hurt the object of their hatred. So this is the way we should view this expression. It's not that hatred doesn't increase, and just like I explained sometime way back when the Bible talks about increase, their love increase for each other, the Thessalonians, and I explained to you that there's no such thing as love increasing or decreasing, because God himself is love. He doesn't increase or doesn't decrease, but the manifestation of love is what increases and decreases. In the same way, it is the manifestation of hatred that will increase or decrease. Now, the summary of the dream together with it is the fate on Joseph has have been given here. So, the human author now gives us the content of the dream. In other words, he wants to get from the start. And we understand that the issue here is that this dream is causing a lot of problem for Joseph. His brothers are going to be very helpful. They're going to find ways to harm him more and more because of their hatred. And every time that he sees, they hear things that seem to be in the favor of Joseph, they get more angry and then look for ways to hurt him. Well, before giving the content of the dream, we are informed that Joseph's brothers, at least for Joseph, he obtained his brothers' attention according to the sentence of verse 6 where he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had." Now, a literal translation is something like this. And he said to them, "Listen, please. This dream, that which I dreamed." That's the way the Hebrew reads it. Let me repeat that again. He said to them, "Listen, please. The dream, this, that which I dreamed." Now, the relative pronoun them, of course, is a reference to Joseph's brothers. However, we do not know whether the dream was narrated to all of his brothers or just a handful of them. In either case, it would seem that all his brothers, including Benjamin, would have eventually learned of this dream. Now, the literal translation indicates that the word "listen" is a command, but the command is toned down to that of a request because of the use of the word "please." That is used in the Hebrew, the word "please," but the NIV did not translate it. Now, Joseph was not being disrespectful to his seniors or the ones older than he is. Now, I know that is a concept that for most people in this country is very foreign, to realize that when somebody is older than you, your sibling, you show them respect. But, of course, most people, they don't even show respect to their parents, so how much less their sibling? Now, in the ancient world, and not just that, in many parts of the world, even today, some cultures, they still hold to that. In other words, whoever is the oldest in the family is respected by the rest. And he's pretty much the king, because he tells them what to do to until a certain level of their lives, because he's older. So they don't talk to them in a very respectful manner. And that, even though Joseph used the word that would indicate the command, he put the word "please," so that his brothers would not think that he's being rude to them. But that's another story, because it didn't really change their feeling, as we will see. Now, additionally, the literal translation suggests that Joseph probably understood that this dream that he had was unique in its meaning. It is for this reason that he wanted his brothers to pay attention to that dream. That is, of course, literally said, the dream, this dream. Well, this is an awkward reading or translation, but that's where it is in the Hebrew. But it's a way, though, in the Hebrew to emphasize on a particular word. And that word is the dream. So the emphasis is on his first dream. It could be that Joseph, in narrating this unique dream to his brothers, might be saying to his brothers that they should be very cautious in dealing with him, because God has a unique plan for him. Now, that may be part of what's going on in his mind, or that the Holy Spirit has put in his mind. We don't know. But if that were this case, if that was the case, then the brothers certainly missed the point. Instead, the dream had the opposite effect on them. Instead of respect or being fearful of what God might be doing with this young man, they resented him. Now, the dream itself is quite simple, as given in verse 7, where it says, "We were buying these sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Now, the translation of the NIV is an excellent one in that it describes in a more dramatic manner the dream of Joseph. Actually, the word suddenly does not appear in the Hebrew text, but the clause is simply when suddenly, my sheep arose and stood upright, is literally from the Hebrew, then, and my sheep rose and also she stood upright. Now, the use of suddenly in the NIV is simply or probably designed to produce the effect of something that is dramatic. Now, the expression stood up comes from a Hebrew word that means to stand upright or to be set free. So this, the verb that is used is the Hebrew word natsab. N-A-T-S-A-B, natsab, means to stand upright, or sometimes it can mean to establish. But this Hebrew verb appears in our text in what is called nifal in the Hebrew grammar, which would be equivalent today to what we may call a passive sense. That is, the importance of the nifal here is to show that Joseph's sheep did not on of his own stand upright. Someone caused it to do so. It received that action of being stationed in the right place, upright in his dream. Now, the implication, of course, which the brothers themselves also failed to have noted, is that it was not Joseph's action that caused the sheep here to stand up in the midst of the field, but the Lord's doing. See, they weren't thinking. Now we're going to be talking about it. They weren't thinking. Because if they were thinking, they would have been saying, well, this young man didn't do anything. He just narrated the dream that he saw something come up. He had nothing to do with it. Now, the final phase of the dream involves the brothers' sheaves, of course, bowing down before Joseph's sheaves. Then again, all his dream, he hasn't done any part of this, yet he's just narrating what he saw. Now, the expression gathered around is translated from a Hebrew word that means to turn about or around, or to encircle. So this, the Hebrew verb used, usually implies a movement that simultaneously involves a change of some sort. So the sense here is that the sheaves that belong to Joseph's brothers moved around somehow and encircled the sheaf that belonged to Joseph before bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. Now, Joseph simply narrated the dream without any interpretation. But his brothers, who already were resentful of him, understood the implication of the dream, that they gave the response that we read in the first part of verse 8. It says, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? Now, the Hebrew of the first half of verse 8 is quite interesting, because literally, this is the way it comes in the Hebrew. Read it slowly. It says, and his brothers said to him, to reign, will you reign over us? Or to rule, will you rule among us? Let me read that again, because it's a little bit different from what you have in the NIV or even the New American Standard a little bit. It says, and his brother said to him, to reign, will you reign over us? Or to rule, will you rule among us? Now, this awkward rendering is one way to be quite emphatic in the Hebrew language. This is because there are two instances of the use of what is described in the Hebrew grammar as the infinitive absolute, as we render literally to reign and to rule. Actually, since these two infinitives are used in the question here, the meaning is that the brothers
were highly doubtful of the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. In other words, by using this emphatic way, they kind of did what you make, snub that in a little bit. It was kind of funny to them. Yes, this man is dreaming. So in any case, this awkward literal translation could be rendered in English, such as, "And his brother said, 'Will you indeed reign over us?'" So put that emphasis, indeed, because that's what the Hebrew is all about in terms of the construction. Or you say, "Or will you indeed, again, rule among us?" Still, though, to emphasize the doubt in the question in their mind, because they're having some doubt, someone could even translate it something like, "Will you, by chance, reign over us? Or will you, by chance, rule among us?" In other words, you can get the tone of their voice. They're almost laughing, making fun of Joseph at this point. But as we will eventually see, when it's all over, Joseph will have the last laugh. But meanwhile, they think it's funny that this young man has given them this dream or narrated this dream, and they try to make fun of him as they could. But Joseph, of course, will be taking these things in style, as we'll talk about. But eventually, God manifested what this dream is. Now, the emphatic nature of the Hebrew expression that we're considering is even made more emphatic by the use of two Hebrew verbs that have similar meaning. The first is the Hebrew word malak. M-A-L-K. M-A-L-A-K. Malak. That means to be or become a king or to reign. Then there's a second Hebrew word used, mashal or mashal. M-A-S-H-A-L. Mashal or mashal. It means, again, to rule, to have dominion or to reign. Now, with these two similar Hebrew words, we can understand that the brothers were concerned that Joseph's dream, at least his dream here, meant that he will not only take leadership role over them, but also an actual authority, that he will exercise an actual authority over them. Of course, they doubted that such a thing would take place because of his age, being the second to the last among the sons, by the law of privileges in the ancient world. There's no way Joseph would come to that kind of position in terms of ruling. So they doubted that such a thing would take place, not only because of his age, but probably they understood that according to the custom, that there's no way for the person who is the 11th among 12 brothers to be the one who will rule over them, so to say. I mean, just something in that neighborhood, but his position is a little bit higher than that, but in the end, that's where they saw him. But nevertheless, his brothers, as it is generally, probably did not completely discount the fact that he might rule, because they realized their father's love for him. So it might be on that basis that they were, even after they jeered about him a little bit, they might have said, well, who knows? There may be something that he's up to. So as the brothers thought of the possibility of such a thing taking place, then again, they hated him. They think, well, if this may be possible. So they hated him the more. And that's what we see in the second sentence of verse 8, where it says, "And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said." Now the word dream, actually, it's in the plural, in the Hebrew. Not just dream, it should be dreams, his dreams. So that's the father is the plural, suggests that the human author here is summarizing the effect of Joseph's two dreams instead of just the first dream only. For, according to the next verse, it is clear that Joseph also narrated his second dream to his brothers. Now, Joseph's dream certainly led to more hostility from his brother. The expression, what he said, because of what he said, literally, some have it on account of his speech. Though the Hebrew word translated speech could also mean command or word, but it's not really clear what the speech is meant here. If people chose to translate it on account of his speech, as some English versions have done. Now, it is likely, though, that it is the manner in which he requested their attention that infuriated his brothers. Remember, I told you that even though he said, listen, please, the word listen itself is a command, and they probably didn't hear the second part. Because you see, when people are all angry with people, and when they resent people, when they hate people, they twist everything they say. Because that's all they want to hear. They're not hearing what the people are saying to them. So if someone resents you, everything you say to him or her, that person is going to twist it. In fact, whatever they hear is going to be so irritating to them that they come out with a different interpretation. And so it is possible that when he said, listen, by the time he added the word please, they all shut off their ears. And they got angry because to them, he was commanding them, so to say. Now, although Joseph was polite, but his brothers could have perceived him as being arrogant in using the words that required of them to pay attention to his dream. That is probably what is meant here, instead of just the word speech, or the speech he gave, as some have translated this. But either way, the whole thing is he's narrating this dream, giving it in such a way that his brothers didn't like what he said. So it is for this reason that we believe that speech has the meaning of command, which has been softened by the use of the word please. In other words, even though Joseph used the word please, his intention was to soften the request he made so that his brothers would not be angry. But that didn't work. They were still angry. In other words, again, when people hate you, no matter what you do, you can hardly please them. Now, that doesn't mean you wouldn't do what is right. You just keep doing what is right, but you just wouldn't please them because their hatred does not allow them to see the good things that you do for them or whatever it is. And that is what, you know, you should always expect in life, that once you run into situations where people have it in for you, where they think bad of you, you do all you want to try to get things right, and they'll just listen to you, but no sooner than you finish whatever it is, they go back to their old ways of resentment and hatred. So this is what might have been taking place here. In other words, Joseph's brothers, filled with hostility towards Joseph, not only because of his dream, but also because, at least in their mind, in the manner in which he asked them to pay attention to his dream. They will be thinking, among themselves, something like this. This is maybe something they will be thinking. Who does he think he is that he commands us to listen to his dream? After all, we all have dreams, but we don't go around telling people. So what does he think he is? That he should command us, tell us to pay attention to his dream. That may be their thinking. Now, if Joseph's brother thought that way or had such discussions among them, among themselves, you know that has increased their hostility. Or at least that is one way, one visible demonstration of their hostility towards their brother. They're just looking for reasons and they're finding more. Just as it is in life,
There's no human being that you can look for reason to hate that you wouldn't find one. No. You say, well, I'm such a perfect person. Oh yeah, that is just only in your own eyes. Every one of us, we have flaws. We have sinful natures. We have certain things that will irritate others. And so it is not a matter of whether there's something in us that will cause another person to hate us. The issue for us as believers, of course, is not, we don't go around giving people reasons to hate us, but even when you try not to, somebody's always going to find a reason to hate you. And therefore, don't get too much upset. And I know there are people who almost have a heart attack going if they can find that some people don't like them. You don't have to be down on yourself because somebody doesn't want to love you or doesn't care about you. So that's his or her problem, not yours. You just go right ahead and be what you're supposed to be before the Lord. And as you do so, it doesn't matter what the other person thinks. As you keep living in life, you'll find it among your peers or wherever you find yourself, at work, in any place that you find yourself. There's always going to be people who don't like you. And my friend, it's a miserable life if you have to live trying to please everyone on this planet. You can do that. Because you see, part of the problem with that is, let's say you have two people. One of them has a different reason for hating you. Another person has a different reason. Well, let's just say that both of them, their reasons are opposite each other. So you please this one, the other person will hate you. You please the other one will hate you. So what do? You just go by what the truth says and be sure that constantly within your soul, you are free of hatred for anyone, for any reason. That's the only place you can play safe. And leave that, whatever that comes after that, leave it to God. And He'll take care of it. So that's really basically the first dream that we're dealing with. Now the second, like I said, there are two dreams. The first dream of Joseph is concerned with his relationship with his with respect to his brothers. However, the second dream covers his entire family. That is now his father, Jacob's wives, and his sons. Now these two dreams are identical in a sense, because they speak to Joseph's rule over his father's family. Now one may wonder why Joseph had two similar dreams. Now it is not because of his ambition, as some scholars, some commentators say, well, that's because he was an ambitious young man. But the reason is because that is God's way of assuring Joseph that the central theme of the dream will certainly be fulfilled. In other words, some people don't like repetition to a certain level. In other words, it's okay if you tell them 1, 2, but once you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and they get angry. Which, you know, we can understand that. But here God repeated this dream, the theme, in a different way, only so he can communicate to Joseph that yes, what I'm giving you in the dream, you can count on it, it's going to happen. Now, why do I say this? Well, I say this based on Joseph's interpretation almost 13 years later, when he interpreted another dream for another man, another king, Pharaoh in this case, and Pharaoh was given two dreams the same night, and both dreams were identical, which we'll study when we get to chapter 41. But look at what Joseph said regarding that double dream. Genesis 41 verse 32. Genesis 41 verse 32. Again, all I want to establish is the fact that when God gave two dreams with the same theme, that it is a way to assure Joseph that this dream will come true. And the same way, when when Pharaoh had two dreams, this is where Joseph began to explain it for us. He says, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. In other words, he's trying to tell him, listen, God has determined that whatever is the theme of this dream will happen. So I'm convinced that Joseph himself, the Holy Spirit must somehow have communicated that to him. So he became aware. Well, maybe that's why I had these two dreams, to tell me that this is going to be fulfilled. Now the structure of the narrative of this second dream, though, differs slightly from the first one, in the sense that this second dream was not summarized as was the case in the narrative of the first dream. It is easy to understand why there was no need to summarize the second dream. It seems to me, though, that the intent of the Holy Spirit is to emphasize the increased hostility of Joseph's brothers because of his dreams. So having emphasized this in the narrative of the first dream, the only thing that is necessary now is simply to give a second dream and the reaction of Joseph's brothers and the reaction of his father. So the second dream is given then in verses 9 to 11. Verse 9 reads, then he had another dream, and he told his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father, as well as his brother, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you heard? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now it would seem that Joseph was not aware of the hatred of his brothers because of his spiritual life. Now that's what we're saying. There's something. Because remember, he probably, when we read that part of the first dream and they say, and we read where it says, and they hated him the more. Well, remember that's a commentary from the Holy Spirit, which will suggest that Joseph didn't know that. That Joseph didn't know that his brothers hated him. And I mean, so I'm going to make an issue later on in the application aspect of it. It is possible for people to hate you and you don't know. Which is good if you don't know. Because that removes a whole lot of things from you. But in this case, all I'm saying is it would seem that Joseph was not aware of the hatred of his brothers. Or it could be because of his spiritual life. He chose to ignore their attitude, hoping to change their attitude by relating to them what he believed was God's plan for him. Now we say this because if he were aware of their hatred of him, or if he did not ignore his brothers or their hatred, I don't think he would have continued to tell them about this dream. In other words, you know, if you tell somebody one, two, certain things, and they seem to have no interest, why bother? You remember there is even instruction. You warn a believer once, you warn him twice. It says, have nothing to do with him if he continues in that in the same direction. So, what we're saying is, Joseph didn't really know what was going on. He didn't know what was in their mind. Probably he has not seen what you might call an evidence of their hatred. In other words, there are a lot of ways you know that people hate you. Part of it is the way they look at you, you know, out of the corner of their eyes or whatever. And part of it is their two action to you. So it is possible that maybe Joseph had never noted any of this. Nevertheless, we are informed that Joseph had a second dream and narrated it. And that dream
was, as far as he's concerned, he just went right ahead. So he says, then, first expression of verse 9, then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Now again, why did Joseph narrate this second dream to his brothers? Now it is either because he hoped to change his brother's attitude towards him if he was aware of faith, or he was the type that could not close his mouth or shut his mouth, but talk too much. He could have been that person, right? Well, I think the former is more likely. Joseph probably was trying to change the attitude. That's more likely than the fact that Joseph was a talkative. Now, Joseph might have been convinced that as he kept reminding his brothers of what he believed that God would do with him, that they would become afraid and stop being antagonistic toward him. That is, if we were aware of the attitudes towards him. He may just be trying to warn them. And that's something that, you know, we have explained this from this pulpit many, many times. There are people who go against a believer under certain condition, going against God, and they're asking for trouble for themselves. So maybe Joseph understood that principle and trying to get his brothers so that they don't go into that wrong direction and be hurt. But nevertheless, they won't listen. Now Joseph began narrating his dreams by pointing his brothers' attention to this second dream, or even by inviting them to experience the surprise he himself must have experienced, especially now with the second dream. Now we say this because of the first expression of the second sentence of verse 9. Look at the second sentence of verse 9. He said, listen, he said, I had another dream. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads something like this. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream again. Now, that's why some people, when they talk about too much of dream, people call them Joseph as a way of, you know, making fun of them or the other. But in any case, the word listen here in the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that means behold or lo or see. That's why I translated the word with, in the literal translation, behold, because we have a Hebrew word hine. Hine. H-I-N-N-E-H. Hine. So that Hebrew word simply means behold or see. Now it is often used to draw attention or to point out things or point to people. Sometimes that Hebrew word is used to introduce a fact. It may also be used here to make a narrative graphical in nature or make it vivid. And in other words, enable the reader to enter into the surprise or satisfaction of the speaker or the actor concerned. Now it is perhaps in this latter sense that Joseph had used it in speaking to his brothers. He not only wants them, or at least wants to draw their attention to this second dream, but he also wants them to share in his surprise of the second dream. Now, all of these things are coming to him. They're quite surprising. And he wants his brothers to share that. In other words, you may have known the cases where you're excited about something and you go to someone else, maybe a friend, whatever, so they can share your excitement. And they pour what they call cold water to it. And you know how you feel. Because they didn't live up to what you were thinking they were. You were excited and you're sharing something exciting to them. Instead of sharing your excitement, they find a way to quench that excitement. And that may be what is happening here. So, Joseph wanted them to share his excitement, but they did not. But in any case, the dream is quite simple, in that the sun here and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to Joseph, as in the last expression of verse 9, where it says, and this time the sun and moon
and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Now, see, Joseph was still surprised at the nature of the second dream, for he used the same Hebrew word that means behold, although the translators of the NIV had used the phrase this time. But the Hebrew still here is hine. To help, of course, when they use the word this time, it's just simply for the sake of making the English read smoother. Nevertheless, it seems that Joseph was surprised at what he saw in his dream. In his first dream, the sheaves of his brothers had bowed down before his own sheaf, but in the second dream, the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed directly to him. For you see, if he had said that these heavenly bodies had bowed down to his own star, for example, then the second dream would have been quite similar to the first dream. But he didn't say that. That was in the dream. But since his heavenly bodies bowed down to Joseph, then it is clear that Joseph is the one being emphasized. In other words, the key, the central figure in that in the dream is Joseph. Now, so this dream, as we see, be very surprising because it involves heavenly luminaries and they were bowing down to Joseph. Now, if you think about it, it's hard to conceive how the sun was bowing down, the moon was bowing down, and all the other luminaries mentioned bowing down to a person. Because, if you recall, this is called a dream. Because in dreams, the nature of dreams, we see things impossible. That's why sometimes when people start having these impossible ideas or things, people say, keep dreaming. In other words, in dream, you can see things that just don't happen. Things that sound impossible because it's not happening. In the world, would you imagine the moon or the sun bound up the human being? But it's a dream. And therefore, it doesn't mean that the things that happen in the physical realm will happen. Now, part of the thing also in the dream is you, when you are dealing with dream, you are dealing with a spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, nothing immaterial. Therefore, no limitations. And that's why we see all kinds of things. People have all kinds of dreams. In any case, the second dream was narrated not only to Joseph's brothers, but also to his father. As in the first expression of verse 10 says, when he told his father as well as his brothers. Now we should of course observe that according to the narrative of this section, that Joseph did not tell his father of the first dream, but only the second dream. Now that's from what we see in the context. It doesn't say, well, he was informed or he narrated the first dream to his father. He only narrated the second dream to his father because he understood this time that the dream also involved his father. Now the initial reaction of the father on hearing the detail of this second dream was to rebuke Joseph. As in the next expression of verse 10, his father rebuked him. Now the rebuke of to Joseph here consists of two rhetorical questions. Now I think based on the time left here for break, if I continue we probably will stay longer than we need to. So we'll just take a break and after the last supper we'll finish, we'll get back to this study.